telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I can't move.
What is up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dolan. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Brian and I were talking before we got in the air. Brian, not much news today. What possibly could we have to talk about?
There's really not much. I mean, I did see a couple squirrels in the yard today. Some little bunnies out walking the dog. Little tiny, like, baby bunnies. Really cute.
They're very cute.
We could have a cuteness contest today.
Well, my dog would win. But in lieu of a cuteness contest, I suppose we could talk about, again, the winning streak of the Brewers. They did pull out a 3-1 win yesterday against Toronto. I'm really excited. I'm going tonight to the game, which is the Pride Night Festival at the Brewers, which I give them mad props for having. I'm really excited going with a bunch of my former Milwaukee County colleagues who are part of the LGBTQIA employee resource group at the county. So really excited to be doing that.
That's really awesome.
I
really think that baseball itself is, for the most part, pretty darn good about most of that stuff, except for the Texas Rangers. We will not talk about that.
Yeah, let's not ruin the spirit of today by falling prey to a discussion about the Texas Rangers. Blech. But yeah, in all sincerity, a bit of a huge day in the news. I want to begin today by starting out with Hunter Biden's conviction for lying on what is known as the 4473. It is the federal form that you have to fill out in order to purchase a handgun. I'll get to the details in a second, but just so everybody knows what we've got cooked up for you all today, we're of course going to talk about the Hunter Biden conviction today. We're going to be talking to Princeton professor Catherine Eden because it is day 7 of Biden's top 100. We're going to be talking about what President Biden did to raise millions of children out of poverty, to enable them to learn best at school, with Professor Catherine Eden. Then at 3 o'clock, we've got Rob Henkin, the president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. We're going to be talking about the school funding crisis here in the state of Wisconsin and a bit about the controversy surrounding MPS as of late. And we're going to round out the show today, everybody, with a discussion of what I consider to be an absolute bombshell as it relates to Justice Samuel Alito and his evident, obvious, and now indisputable, we have the tapes, folks, bias that is disqualifying under any reasonable definition of the appearance of a conflict of interest. To set it up a little bit, he said these things like a week ago, while the flag controversy is happening, and he let fly all kinds of opinions about all kinds of things that a Supreme Court justice should never be saying. We'll talk about that. So we got a big packed day for everybody, but let's dig in. Let's talk first about what we've got here with a little Hunter Biden conviction. It only took the jury 3 hours to convict President Biden's son, Hunter Biden, of 3 gun charges. There are 3 specific charges: lying to a federally licensed gun dealer, which carries a maximum penalty of 10 years in jail. Secondly, making a false claim on the federal firearms application used to screen applicants. Again, that's the 4473. That carries a sentence of up to 5 years. And third, possession of an illegally obtained gun from October 12th to 23rd, 2018, which carries a maximum punishment of 10 years. Again, this dates back to 2018, so not unlike Donald Trump's most recent criminal conviction, bit of an older case that's been moving through the system for some time, not unlike the former MAGA president and his state criminal conviction, the current president's son facing potentially significant prison time. Also, not unlike President Trump's conviction of a couple of weeks ago, Many have claimed, many legal scholars have made the claim and argue that the charging of these particular crimes in both cases, in both Donald Trump's case and in President Biden's son Hunter's case, were fairly unusual. Folks are making the argument that, listen, if it wasn't the former MAGA president or if it wasn't President Biden's son, you simply would not have seen these charges brought. Hey, Brian, guess what's happening as I complain these compare these two things? Do these sound like some similarities, perhaps?
Yeah, I feel like it's almost like people are getting equal justice under the law. I'm just throwing it out there, perhaps.
And again, claims of unfairness, etc., on both sides. But this is the justice system. This is the system that we have, the legal system, imperfect though it may be. We now have, for the first time in our nation's history, a sitting president's son that has been convicted of a federal crime. I think, you know, when we step back and look at this, first of all, I don't think the evidence of Hunter Biden's guilt here is really all that disputable. It's just not. He has admitted to being an addict during the relevant period of time. As we understand addiction as a disease today, addiction is something that really is a disease for life, right? It doesn't go away. At least that's how most folks that have struggled and recovered with addiction describe it. So, you know, there's really no debate that he did this. The question was, is a jury going to effectively let him off the hook because they felt sorry for him? Again, the parallel to Donald Trump's criminal conviction is very obvious. They had the documents, the literal receipts. There wasn't any debate about whether or not Donald Trump had actually done the thing he was accused of. The question was more or less, would a New York jury let him off the hook? Here's some more similarities. Donald Trump from New York, Joe Biden and Hunter Biden from Delaware. Donald Trump convicted of 12 of his fellow New Yorkers, again, people from the same place he is from, convicted by a jury. Guess what? Hunter Biden from Delaware, convicted by a jury made up of Delaware residents. This is the system. Both juries could only consider the evidence presented in court, explicitly instructed by both judges to ignore anything else that they had heard, any commentary, any news coverage. And in both instances, the defendants had support of family and political allies. These things are the same. If you're going to attack Donald Trump's conviction, then you better attack Hunter Biden's conviction. If you defend Donald Trump's conviction, you had better do so when it comes to Hunter Biden. I just don't see a meaningful distinction here at all.
See, the one thing you haven't brought up in the entire time, and that's, I mean, I hate to explain things to a lawyer about how to lawyer, but counsel, have you even considered where the judge in the Hunter Biden case is from?
No, because, you know, he's from the United States, just like the judge in the Trump trial. Huh. I mean, that's the way it works. Weird.
But isn't there some sort of inherent bias against everybody no, none of that? Do I hear any of that?
It's just strange, isn't it? Let's just step back and take a look at this. And Brian, your point's really well taken, right? At base, you have the former MAGA president who in every single case, in literal case, and in every instance that anyone has ever tried to hold him, at least to some moderate degree, responsible for any of his past actions, he has blamed everyone else, every judge, every juror, every lawyer, the entire system.
You know, it's very easy to get everybody on board to conspire to do things. You can barely get the entire group of people to take out their own trash, let alone conspire against the former MAGA president.
Across different jurisdictions.
Across different timelines.
States. Yes, time zones, jury pools. It's incredibly ridiculous. And on the other side, you have a sitting president and his son who frankly aren't, they're just not attacking the system. They're not claiming, oh, well, woe is me. They're doing exactly the opposite. They're behaving like an adult, not like a baby, not like a three-year-old who, when you catch them doing something wrong, lies and lies repeatedly because they don't want to get in trouble. The difference here, the only difference in these cases of any substantive noteworthiness is the fact that on one hand, you have a family and a defendant who is accepting responsibility. Yes, Hunter Biden defended himself. He's entitled to that. He's likely going to appeal, more on that in a moment, which he is legally entitled to do. But the president of the United States told David Muir on ABC this past weekend that he will not be pardoning his son. I believe, Brian, that you've got the sound from that interview just this past few days. We're going to take a couple of really important messages. Is that what we're going to do, Brian? And then we're going to come back. I'm going to play you the sound of the current president saying there will be no pardon for his son. And perhaps we'll go on a little thought experiment, see what we think Donald Trump might do if one of his kids was convicted or one of his friends. Oh, wait, we might have some relevant factual historical points to look at on that hypothetical. It might not be a hypothetical at all. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to join us? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We'll be back in just a moment.
A tenth of what she did, I would be in jail today.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about Hunter Biden's criminal conviction today of three federal gun charges. He's facing up to 10 years in prison. His father, Joe Biden, was interviewed by David Muir on June 6th, so about 5 days ago, on ABC. And he was asked very directly by Mr. Muir if he would pardon his son. Let's take a listen, Brian.
As we sit here in Normandy, your son Hunter is on trial, and I know that you cannot speak about an ongoing federal prosecution, but let me ask you, will you accept the jury's outcome, their verdict, no matter what it is?
Yes.
And have you ruled out a pardon for your son?
Yes.
Okay, let's just take a breath here. Does anyone out there listening actually believe that Donald Trump would say either of those two things if any of his kids were in the same situation? It just wouldn't happen.
I don't think he could answer that succinctly.
No. The man has never answered a yes or no question with a yes or no. Yeah, that's probably true. You might even talk about sharks. I don't know, electrocutions. It might get weird. What's so remarkable is the restraint that President Biden has shown at every conceivable decision point throughout the legal processes, and Hunter Biden faces another charge related to his failure to file income taxes. Joe Biden could have stopped both of those investigations in their tracks by ordering the DOJ to do so, by ordering his appointee Merrick Garland to do so. He didn't do that. He could have basically directed Merrick Garland to not appoint a special prosecutor. He didn't do that. Merrick Garland appointed a special prosecutor. Donald Trump still could have intervened. Excuse me, Joe Biden could have still intervened. He did not do that. He could have, at this point, now pardoned his son. He's not going to do that. It's just different in every conceivable way, shape, and form from the reaction from Donald Trump. And no one, I don't even think Donald Trump's staunchest co-conspirators and enablers would ever argue that Donald Trump would behave with such restraint. It's just not even possible to conjure up in your imagination. When you heard the news today, Brian, what was the first thing that came to your mind?
Every single time that I have ever seen anyone run on the left, they always have to come to the center and talk about reaching across the aisle in order to get elected. I have never heard someone on the right ever do that. I have not heard anyone on the right come out and say, you know, this election was stolen and so are the other people's, so are the seats of the Republicans that won. It's always they have to, we are the right ones. We are doing what's right. And so it's to the point where no matter what happens, they are so right in their minds that no matter what criminal intent or no matter what criminal activity they have, it justifies the end.
It's a sad observation, right? If we look to, I think Wisconsinites in general, you ask anybody, no matter what their party is or might be, independent, Republican, Democratic, and you say, what do you want to see more of from your elected officials? Getting things done and compromise. Well, compromise is not it's like dancing a tango. It takes two to actually compromise. You have to have a partner in that. And it is simply the fact of the matter that it is very true in virtually nearly all circumstances. I can think of some issues on a state level where we've seen compromise. It simply isn't happening in the halls of Congress basically at all nowadays. And it shocks me because that's not what people want. The president's statement today was, in my opinion, incredibly human and relatable and extremely humble. President Biden said, I am both a president and a father. I am proud of who my son is today. He applauded his resilience and dedication to his recovery. And he said this, quote, I will accept the outcome and respect the judicial process. When any conservative on the line or listening right now, when, please tell me, can we expect Donald Trump to actually defend democratic institutions, to say, I'll accept the outcome? It's only if he wins. That's not the way elections work. It's just not.
It's not you the don't way get democracy to only, works.
That's right. You don't get to, as Brian was saying, you don't get to only challenge the races you lose. That those can't, if election fraud is actually a thing, then it can't be a thing only in the races that you lose. It's a system-wide problem. It boggles the mind. I'll just say this from an observational standpoint. If you'd like to comment, by the way, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I think this conviction hurts Donald Trump. It just becomes so much more difficult to say ridiculous things, right? It becomes a lot more difficult to say the system's rigged when your opponent's kid also got convicted. It just rings a little bit more hollow. And Hunter Biden facing some pretty significant time behind the slammer. It'll be very interesting to watch how both the appeals and the sentencings proceed. By the way, irony of irony in the Hunter Biden gun case. This form, the 4473 form, it is loathed by conservatives who are diehard defenders of the Second Amendment. They have argued repeatedly that it is unconstitutional for the form to include the questions about addiction. So riddle me that, conservatives. Are you down with Hunter Biden overturning his conviction because the very federal laws that he has been convicted of violating are, in your argumentation and your line of logic, unconstitutional infringements on the Second Amendment. It's going to be wild. Dick from Madison, you're on the show. What do you have to say?
Well, real quick, I think he would probably, Trump, speak about sharks, but wouldn't the sharks be dead too if there was electricity in the water?
Yeah, go ahead, Dick.
I mean, I think today, you know, here's what I see with Trump, too. Remember when he was complaining about the jury, where they're from, they're all New York, they're all skewed, what they hear for news? And then it turns out one of the jurors, his main source of news information is Newsmax.
Yeah.
You know, and it just goes on and on and on. And he wants the where the trials, he would have preferred it, of course, to be in Palm Beach or Miami.
Yeah, it's hard when you actually have a jury of regular middle-class folks. Maybe they won't buy your billionaire big old crocodile tears. We will get to the Trump shark sound because I can't let another day pass without it. But when we come back, going to be joined by Princeton Professor Catherine Eden. We're going to talk about Joe Biden's accomplishments for children, raising millions of kids out of poverty, helping them be ready to be educated in our schools, because it's day 7 of Biden's top 100. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these messages, which include your farm update here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
But you know what I'd do if there was a shark or you get electrocuted? I'll take electrocution.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to get back to the chit-chat about Hunter Biden's conviction a little bit later in the show, but I don't want to miss the opportunity to talk with all of you. It is day 7 of Biden's top 100. Each week there is a theme, and each day we talk about a particular policy or sometimes a set of specific policies that Joe Biden has got accomplished or is proposing for his second term that has made your and your family's lives better. This week's theme is education. And today we're going to spend a little bit talking about the various funding proposals that Joe Biden put forward in his first term, including a massive, massive amount of assistance that happened in the American Rescue Plan Act, or ARPA, that really helped raise a lot of kids right out of poverty, which really helps kids be ready to learn. A kid who's hungry, a kid who doesn't have health care, a kid who's coming to school, especially coming from abject poverty, is not a kid who's going to be able to learn like his or her peers who aren't challenged by those same issues. If you recall, we do have a number that we have been sharing with everyone where you can call us and tell us here at Civic Media how any one of Joe Biden's policies, if you want to talk about education or child poverty policies, you want to talk about other policies, you can call us and let us know how Joe Biden's policies have impacted your life or your family's lives. 608-688-9088. Again, that number to leave us a voicemail, 608-688-9088. We'll be compiling those over the coming months leading up to the election and sharing them when we've got some juicy bits for all of you. We had Professor Catherine Eden scheduled from Princeton to talk a bit about child poverty. We're having a couple of issues getting her on the line. No big deal. We will, of course, either get it sorted out or have her back. The last time I hosted Professor Eden, I believe it was back in December of last year, if that's even possible that it's been that long. She has done some incredible work out of Princeton. She's a professor of sociology and public affairs and director of the Bendheim-Thoman Center for Research on Child Well-Being. So we will be certain to get her back. Not to worry, I've got the good facts and figures for everyone as well. If you have questions or comments, this half hour, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. So what did Joe Biden do to get our kids ready to learn, especially coming out of the pandemic? We know our kids were really, you know, one, the educational setbacks, the mental health challenges, all of that. The first thing that Joe Biden did to help each and every one of our families, which in turn helps kids get ready to learn, was that he boosted the child tax credit from $2,000 per child to $3,000 per child, or $3,600 if you've got a child under six. Basically, this cut child poverty in half almost overnight. Incredible, right? And the interesting thing about this particular way that the Biden administration operated the child tax credit under ARPA was that the tax credit was paid monthly via direct deposit into people's bank accounts. So that's very different than how it's operated in the past. Usually it's a lump sum payment or it's a tax credit that you get on your federal income tax. Because the amounts were coming monthly, people knew what they were getting, and it actually functioned to help people fill the gaps, or at least help close the gaps in their household budgets on a month-over-month basis. Now, Professor Eden has studied this and studied similar programs, and it turns out that simply by changing the method of child tax credit delivery, one, you've got to have it, right? Got to have a child tax credit. The second one is you have to think about how people receive that child tax credit. What Professor Eden and others who have studied this problem have discovered that simply by moving it from an annual either tax set off, which can then turn into a refund that comes in a lump sum at the end of the year, by changing it from that delivery mechanism to something that is a direct deposit into parents' bank accounts makes all the difference in the world. That people come to rely on that. It's a much more steady stream of tax credit. Again, it is almost instantaneous in that it provides housing stability, which enables kids to learn. It lifts kids out of poverty. They are more well-fed. They are accessing healthcare on a more regular basis. So just the delivery mechanism, which Joe Biden did it in the American Rescue Plan Act. And of course, the amount matters a lot. And he did increased it by an enormous amount, which really helped middle-class families. Sorry, Brian,
yeah,
go ahead.
I just want to say, I mean, one of the big things that, you know, people who fight against this type of thing complain about is, oh, they're just going to spend it on something else. Or they're just going to spend it on something that we don't want them to. One, as a poor person myself, having you know, spent a couple years not having very much money, when you get a lump sum like that, you do things like pay off a whole bunch of things at the same time, where it may not be like the thing that you need to use this for, but you'll go and say, I have a lump sum, and you pay it out over a bunch of things, and you don't, and then you're still in that situation where you still need to pay this out. So it's better to get it month to month. On top of that, it's not like this increase is going to do much like get more stuff, because the cost of childcare is ridiculous. And right now is the time, because everybody's kids are out of school, and that built-in childcare of having your kid in school every day is now gone. So the summer is also financially painful for all families involved, who actually, because most families have two parents that work, or if they're single family, mom, dad has, you know, a job, maybe two sometimes. So you have to have childcare. So it's going towards most of the things that you need to, and splitting it up over month to month is a lot easier way of doing it.
There is, let me just take this on directly, small tangent off of combating child poverty so that our kids can actually be educated. Small tangent here, something that for my entire life has bothered me to no end. It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment or moral fortitude to put their children first. How dare you suggest that of people? It is absolutely reprehensible. Everyone that I know in my life, middle class and folks that have struggled, aren't putting their personal needs first. They're putting their kids first and nearly killing themselves working to try to get their kids what they need. This broad reaching, well, we can't help people because we can't control how they spend the money, somehow magically doesn't apply to billionaires who grift off middle-class taxpayers, doesn't apply to corporations who dodge their taxes every year to reduce their effective tax rates to nearly zero. The only people who are subject to the conservative morality police about how they spend tax refunds are poor people. How dare you? It is absolutely ridiculous. If any money needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads. I've absolutely, absolutely hated that. And none of the research proves any of that out.
For sure.
Right? Just been an invented boogeyman to provide an excuse for not doing what we all know works to help working families and to help kids have a stable house, food in their bellies so that they can learn. You want to know what the greatest, if you want to be a conservative and all worried about crime and public safety, the single greatest way to combat crime is by ensuring that kids are educated and have a chance to truly fulfill their potential. When you are struggling and in abject poverty, you can't learn. It becomes impossible for you to break your family generationally out of those cycles of poverty. Here's what Joe Biden did in ARPA for childcare. $24 billion. In the state of Wisconsin, the GOP here refused to support childcare when asked by Governor Evers to extend and expend state dollars to keep those childcare supports. So if, like Brian, you're looking at your budget for June, July, and August and trying to figure out how the heck am I going to pay for childcare, guess who you can blame? Donald Trump and the GOP Republicans, and let's put Robin Voss at the top of that list. Joe Biden, $24 billion in subsidies for childcare during COVID and coming out. Again, Republicans have let that lapse. His 2025 budget, so now looking on a forward-looking basis, Joe Biden, his budget has called for increasing the child tax credit back to those 2021 values that Brian and I were just talking about. Again, this would, on average, we think bring nearly 3 million kids out of poverty. If you're a conservative, I want you to ask yourself, why would we not want to bring 3 million kids out of poverty? Our country can afford to do this. And if our budgeting is an expression of our values, why is it not part of our values to ensure that every kid has a fair shot? Joe Biden's 2025 budget also proposes to return the payment mechanism for the child tax credit to the way that it operated in ARPA. And that means a monthly direct deposit into parents' accounts. Again, this makes it so much easier, as Brian was saying, for families to make those recurring payments. Gas, groceries, housing, healthcare, etc. Again, this is so incredibly important. Biden also increased funding by 50% for the Office of Child Care's Child Care and Development Fund, which is a direct grant to state governments to provide for families that have trouble paying for child care. Why aren't we doing this, Brian? Is everybody in Wisconsin?
To screw the Democrats. That's why. I mean, what's more important than defeating the Democrats? I mean, really. No matter what happens, no matter what horrible things are done, as long as it means that the Republicans win and the Democrats lose, it's all worth it. All means justify that end. That's it. That's it. Part and parcel, done, wrap it up, call it a day. That's all it is.
It's funny that you mention that, Brian, because I've sat in a lot of churches and in a lot of religious services, and I'm struggling to recall the religion whose first commandment is by any means necessary, win. Is it, am I misplacing, am I having a memory lapse?
It was in between the talk about forgiveness, redemption, loving the sinner, not judging others, being a better person, like caring for those in need.
So it's somewhere in the commandments or in those first principles of some religion that by any means necessary, win.
I think some guy named Calvin said that or something like that. Yeah, I don't know. Some weird interpretation, but it's too deep for us to understand. The important thing is that they are so right that no matter what happens, it's always right for them. Always.
Because that's not circular at all. I must be right because I'm always right.
Yes.
Just ask me.
There you go. They're going to totally work across the aisle by getting rid of the other side of the aisle.
Incredible. You want to know what my very first radio show was on back in the day, Brian? It was me talking about prosperity theology and why it was an absolutely out and out outrageous lie. Probably and a pernicious scourge.
The direct opposite of what Jesus said. But anyway.
Yeah, literally. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You want to join our conversation? 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. We come back. We're going to take some calls. Talk a little bit more about Hunter Biden's criminal conviction. Maybe listen to a little Shark Talk. Who knows? Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Satan reincarnated.
Who am I to disagree? Well, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Is it sweet dreams or total hallucinations? Donald Trump's ramblings have become even more wildly unhinged. I mean, it's out amusing, there, isn't it? I'm scared. It scares the bejiggers out of me, 100%.
Don't worry, Bill Barr believes he wouldn't do anything crazy, or that the people around him wouldn't take him seriously.
And why is that? Well, it's just my feeling.
That's
what's
good,
your
though.
Feeling based on? Well, I've worked with him, so. It's cool.
Hey, I don't think it'll happen because no one takes the president seriously.
Seriously.
It's cool. That's how you have to justify it by saying it's okay. No one takes him seriously. We just want to win so bad that we'll put this fool, complete fool, in front of you to vote for. You don't. No, no. You in the Make America Great Again hat, you don't look like a fool at all. Trust me, you're totally fine.
Again, because again, I know I can name at least zero religions who say any means necessary, just win. Millions of kids in poverty, don't help them out. Don't help kids with meals at school. Just win, any means necessary. Heard that all the time when I was in religious services.
When you think you have the Lord on your side, which is probably the most arrogant thing you can possibly think, is that I know the will of God. But anyway, after Trump's first election, I was driving around and all the religious nuts were saying on the air, they were excited because the second coming was happening because he's the Antichrist. They were happy about it.
Well, and they called him the Antichrist, but now he's your retribution. Okay. Hunter Biden, guilty on all three counts. Breaking news today. It is a good day for the rule of law. It is a very bad day for Donald Trump, because how do you get up and say the entire system is right when the current sitting president's son might go to prison for longer than you might be on supervised release? Now, it is true that both in President Trump's conviction and in Hunter Biden's conviction, I doubt we'd be looking at any serious time. That's just not the precedent here for either one of these types of crimes. So I don't expect to see it. And we want to see both defendants, both Donald Trump, a former president, and a current sitting president's son, treated fairly like any other defendant would be treated under similar circumstances. That is where we are. But if you zoom out for a minute, here's what I say. It's a victory for the rule of law today, especially with the bookend of Donald Trump's criminal conviction. Both of these guys, no doubt they did it. Hunter Biden did what he was criminally charged of, and so did Donald Trump. How do we know it? Because the documents say so. The facts are indisputable. But if we zoom way out, one of the things that I think makes this a great day for the rule of law here in the United States is that as I think of world history and current global events, I struggle to come up with a modern analogy where a sitting head of state's child was criminally prosecuted, convicted, and may in fact face some sort of criminal sanction. I just don't know a historical or modern global analogy to that. I think that speaks very well of the resilience of our system. Let's take a little bit of a listen. Again, we're going to listen again to President Biden, as interviewed by David Muir on ABC, being asked about whether or not he'd pardon his son.
As we sit here in Normandy, your son Hunter is on trial, and I know that you cannot speak about an ongoing federal prosecution. But let me ask you, will you accept the jury's outcome, their verdict, no matter what it is?
Yes.
And have you ruled out a pardon for your son?
Yes.
Again, I ask you, would you ever expect to hear anything of the sort from the former MAGA president? Let's put on our partisan blinders for a moment, shall we, Brian? It's just partisan blinders. Let's forget everything that we know. Let's pretend that we are species from another planet dropped on to this.
That's every day for me, Maggie, just so you know.
This some days me too, Brian. Dropped onto this rock we call Earth, maybe perhaps here in the United States. And all you had to go on was basically the highlight reels of each of these two presidential candidates. Let me summarize. Grew up in a working class family. Father worked in a union manufacturing plant, rose up through the ranks of elected office, has spent a lifetime in public service. Your wife and infant daughter were killed in a car crash, and your two sons seriously wounded. Later, your eldest son is killed serving in the military, and your last remaining son develops a debilitating addiction and makes terribly harmful choices as you ascend to the highest office in the land. And as that president, you continue to defend workers' rights, the middle class. You employ economic policies that help raise millions of children out of poverty. You help reduce the cost of childcare. You help raise wages. It ain't perfect, and we got a lot of ways to go, but that's what candidate one did. Let's review candidate two. Grew up with a silver spoon stuck up his you-know-what, inherited his wealth, inherited the business, and running that business as an adult, cheated every man, woman, and child that he ever did business with. Every other business he started other than the one that he inherited, he bankrupts, again, stiffing every single vendor and contractor that he ever partnered with, as well as the customers whom he suckered out of their hard-earned money. Credibly accused of rape by no less than 9 women, now convicted of rape in a court of law, convicted of fraud, a known racist, and a man who openly favor trades without limitation, and who now is a convicted felon. Strip away the partisanship, folks. If you're a middle class person and you look at this as if you were an alien that just got dropped onto planet Earth, it ain't even close. Ryan, how are we already out of time? We've got so much to discuss. Such a slow news day. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You're not going to want to go anywhere because up next, it's the secret word. Oh, we're off.